TGIF family, happy Friday and welcome to the Ring of Honor post show here on Women's Wrestling Talk. Today we're getting into episode 63 of Ring of Honor, and I do have a very simple question. Tell me she didn't just say that.
What's up, everybody? It's the hottest flame, Kiera Hogan, period, and you're watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and welcome to Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I am your professor. What are we calling me these days? Teflon G, Gerard Bonner, GB, pick a name. It's completely up to you, and I'm okay with whatever you land on. I hope you're doing well on this particular Friday, as today, of course, it's time to talk about all things Ring of Honor, and we're going to get into episode 63, which aired last night on Honor Club. But of course, I am not alone. I'm joined by my tag team partner here, the boss lady, the real TK, TK Trinidad. How are you, TK?
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? It's early over there.
Well, it is early. However, shout out to, I'm a firm believer in having multiple teams. So we have decided that it is recommended for me to wake up at 4:44 every single morning. So, yeah.
That feels rather Jay-Z-ish.
It is. And there's some, there's also, we'll talk offline about that. If you want to know, hit me up. But there's also another, another element as far as, you know, taking it to the next level. So, you know, here we are, day three of waking up at 4:44 in the morning.
All right. And you look like you're good with it. You don't look any different than, you know, if this were later this afternoon. So shout out to you.
I don't know if you're saying that I look like trash all the time, but you know, well,
you said that. I never said anything close to that. Oh my gosh.
Cause I'm like always like, I have to invest in like a whole closet of sweats. That is literally my go-to now. That's
Do you see what I'm wearing? I mean, like, hello.
Yes.
Okay. See, maybe that's why the show is named that, because of what you just did. Tell me she didn't just say that I would say that she looked like trash. Go figure. Anyway, Matt, good to see you as always. And shout out to all of you who will be joining us in the chat as we get into episode 63 of Ring of Honor. So this week's episode emanated once again from Jacksonville, Florida, Daly's Place. And already, you know, last week when we talked about it, we talked about that opening aesthetic, which I guess the time of day when the show was shot, it was clear that the sun was starting to go down, but that wild sunlight was in there and it really kind of took away from match one. Not quite the case this time. It was certainly still daytime, but that wasn't an issue, which made seeing things a lot easier for sure. So shout out to them, and we'll dig right into the episode that began strangely. Well, I won't say strangely enough. One of the things that we've seen again about Ring of Honor is it is very, very much, I think, a throwback to old school wrestling in terms of, you know, its format, where sometimes you will see backstage promos with or without an interviewer. Some of the matches are, you know, matches where there's top level talent against top level talent. And then other matches are clearly about enhancing one particular story. And so this particular show started off not with their normal cold open, but it started off with a backstage interview involving the tag team champions, the Undisputed Kingdom. And I thought this one was really interesting because they had a couple of things that they said that were clear throw-offs on the team of Angelo Parker and Matt Menard. They even referenced their time in NXT on that. And I thought they had a couple of very interesting jabs in all of that. What did you think of the start to this Ring of Honor program?
Oh, man. I mean, talk about confidence. We are the kingdom, the Undisputed Kingdom. You know, talking about fatherhood, talking, questioning all those things. I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, I love a good promo. I love a good innuendo. I love, you know, little nuggets that you have to be in the know. It's almost like, you know, the folks who go off on, and, you know, no shade to them, but the whole Drake and Kendrick thing, like, it was great. However, I wasn't as invested in it as other folks, but people were literally digging to find all those Easter eggs. And, you know, I'm glad they're excited. And so that's kind of how I found this promo to be. It's like a little bit of Easter eggs. And I'm sure if you dig a little bit deeper, there's stuff that kind of goes over your head, almost like hearing those songs when you're a kid. And then you realize, like, oh, both my parents were good parents for letting me listen to, you know, whatever song. So I love stuff like that. I love stuff like that. Like, you can go back and it's kind of evergreen. So that was a good promo.
Absolutely. And I almost went down the rabbit hole with you on that one, but I'm not, because this is the Ring of Honor show, because this would have been a great TK tangent for another day. But I will say that I totally enjoyed this promo. And what I really liked about it, you can get the feeling, and we noticed this last week too, that with these backstage promos, some of them are just kind of them going off the cuff. Right. Mm-hmm. Because there were moments where both of them made the other one laugh, and you could tell they were breaking character because of the things that were being said, which I thought was hilarious. And I thought, again, these guys are, you know, reveling in the art of cutting a good promo. Again, a throwback to what we used to see in older wrestling programs. So shout out to the Undisputed Kingdom. And we'll ultimately see if they end up going to fight these two, or if they'll fight some other challengers, which we'll obviously get into a little bit later. From there, we get into our first match, which, given all of the matches that were initially announced, I was very shocked that this one was not announced because of the competitors that were involved. And this match automatically had me from the start. On one end, you have Taya Valkyrie, Diamante, and Mercedes Martinez. What a group of champions, and what a strong resume on that side of the match, versus Layla Hirsch, Lady Frost, and Abaddon. Really six of the best in the women's division in Ring of Honor. And you guys remember that, because we'll revisit that at some point during the show. But what were your thoughts on this women's trios match to kick off episode 63?
It was kind of one of those things where, no, I like the match. But again, I think what we've talked about, where we are praising Ring of Honor for, is the storyline of it all. And maybe I missed it, but I was like, I understand to an extent Taya Diamante and Mercedes Martinez, but Lady Frost and Abaddon, it was just like, okay, well, how did we get here? And I think the commentator said that as well. It's like, okay, you have one team where, you know, you could see them traveling together. You know, both Taya and Mercedes have like years in the game. Diamante's falling closely behind. So, I mean, it just kind of made sense if you're familiar with all those three ladies. So it was just kind of like, okay, so where are we going with this? The match was great. The match itself told a good story as far as strength and teamwork versus, you know, we're here. We don't know how we got here, but we're here.
Right.
It was great nonetheless. But again, what was the point of this? What's the end goal of this match, or where are we going from here?
Yeah, it's very interesting, because you're right. This match came in with no prevailing story, you know, in terms of how Layla Hirsch, Lady Frost, and Abaddon came together, or even why we have a women's trios match when there isn't a women's trios championship, you know. So it is very interesting. And I do think that, again, this is going to come into play a little bit later with something that was said that I think provides very interesting backdrop behind matches like this and things of this nature. Again, an interesting thread with Taya Diamante and Mercedes, all of the time that they each individually have spent wrestling in Mexico and all of those places, CMLL, AAA, all of those things, the experience that they all have, all being champions at some point in time. Again, Layla, Lady Frost, and Abaddon, no real prior connection coming into this match. And given the results of this match with Taya, Diamante, and Mercedes winning, not sure that those three women on the other side will team up again. But it was a hot match to start the card. Again, definitely leaning more on the action than the story for this particular match. So, again, shout out to Taya, Diamante, and Mercedes for the win. And yes, indeed, it is happy 300 day for WWT Live. Always good to see you, honey, hanging out with us today. All right, from there we went into, I thought, a very interesting match, at least on paper. Anthony Ogogo against Zicky Dice. Now, Zicky Dice has been on Ring of Honor before, but this would be his first singles match on Ring of Honor. Meanwhile, Anthony Ogogo, this is his Ring of Honor debut. I think this is so interesting that Anthony Ogogo would be here, given many may not realize that he was the first developmental contract that AEW actually signed back in 2019-2020. Most of his in-ring work in AEW right there at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. Since then, you know, he had gone away. He was injured, all of the things. Now he's back as part of Shane Taylor Promotions and taking on the former NWA World TV Champion, Zicky Dice. What were your thoughts on this one?
I like the way how both the commentating team and Anthony, after he took the W, reintroduced himself. Like, y'all gonna put some respect on my name. Not only am I a wrestler, I'm an Olympian. I've done this, I've done that. So I like how he established like that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're like, if you're Olympian, you have to say that, but how he just did that was really, really good. Cause it's kind of like, yeah, no, where this is the game plan and I'm with Shane Taylor Promotions now. And, you're going to see me as champion. That's kind of what I got from it. So I'm hoping, you know, that's what we're going to see, the follow through of it. But nonetheless, it was a great match. I did, for a brief moment, I thought Zicky Dice was going to win. But then it's like, yeah, no, I think the game plan is to put the strap on Anthony eventually.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Having worked with both of these guys over time, this match was very interesting to me because they both have similar levels of stardom, but from different spaces. So Anthony Ogogo, as was mentioned, you know, all that he's done in the boxing world. Most AEW fans, if they are long-term AEW fans, will remember Anthony Ogogo and his lone pay-per-view match, oddly enough, against Cody Rhodes. And it's kind of where we got this one promo from Cody that, you know, many were not too pleased with. But with that said, Anthony Ogogo was the other side of that that I think people forgot. Also, if you follow Zicky Dice, you understand his history and you understand why this match was so important. I was actually quite surprised that the match ended as quickly as it did. I thought the match was going to go a bit longer, given what both of these guys have done in the wrestling business. But to your point, there was a clear design in this. And it was, again, another Jay-Z reference. It was a space where we can allow him to reintroduce himself. And that's what Anthony Ogogo got to do last night, which I thought was important. I also thought it was important that for someone who was signed as the first developmental talent in AEW, that he gets this shot in what many are calling AEW's developmental brand in Ring of Honor. I think he doesn't get lost in the sauce here, being connected also with Shane Taylor Promotions, given the history that Shane Taylor and Ring of Honor has, hopefully will be very, very good for Anthony Ogogo. He's had a couple of stops and starts throughout his career, so hopefully this one will be kind of the jump start that he needs to be able to get him moving forward. And I do think that at some point, we could see him, if he continues on this trajectory, to perhaps a match for the World TV title, which I think would be interesting. A title, again, once held by Shane Taylor. So Anthony Ogogo wins this match by knockout, and it's definitely one worth going back to see. From there, we get into the moment that, for me, was the moment that kind of had me just going, what did we just see here? And it was completely unexpected. So what you see on your screen to the left of you is Rachel Ellering, who is, for those who've been asking, the daughter of Precious Paul Ellering, who was the longtime manager of the Road Warriors and current manager of the Final Testament in WWE. In the middle, it's the latest on-air personality, Arkady Aura, for Ring of Honor. She's also serving as ring announcer at times. And on the right, you see Maria Kanellis. Now, there's a story here, as Maria Kanellis, for months, had been trying and lobbying to work with Rachel Ellering and Layla Hirsch, who we saw in match one. Mm-hmm. They ultimately denied her that opportunity. And so this is kind of an interview to say, hey, Rachel, where are things? And it started off with Rachel, and instead of me telling you about it, I think you need to see this.
A while since we've seen you here at Ring of Honor. The last time was actually in your match against Sheeta. How have you been?
First off, lovely to meet you. And second, you know, I've been better, honestly. I thought 2024 was going to start off a little bit hotter for me, and it hasn't. But you guys smell that? A little bit of desperation in the air. That desperation can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. Desperate to prove I belong, that I've earned this spot. And, you know, this is where the best wrestle, right? There's nothing I love more than professional wrestling, more than women's wrestling. So...
Oh, hello there.
Hi, how's it been going for you? I hear you're desperate. You're desperate. Probably desperate because you didn't accept my help. I tried to help you. Tried to help Layla, too. But you guys didn't want my help. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've tried to help women's wrestling. Even started my own promotion. Thought that was going to be a great thing. But what I realized at the end of the day, the wrestling, women's wrestling, doesn't really sell tickets. And what you have certainly isn't going to sell anything.
Excuse me.
Someone can't handle the truth.
So, all right, let's talk about this, because the second I saw this, I said, first of all, I expected the internet to be going crazy, right. And they aren't. And this is probably
the beauty.
Yeah, well, this is probably the beauty of A, having something behind a paywall. But what we have here is Maria Kanellis interrupting this interview. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, TK, about some of the Easter eggs that were dropped in the first interview of the night. There were a couple here that, if you did not know, we will kind of walk you through. But I know, TK, you're very well aware. The promotion that Maria Kanellis is alluding to is Women's Wrestling Army, an all-women's promotion, who has done, for the most part, fairly well. A lot of the names that you're seeing on television today have made their way through that promotion. But then she said, women's wrestling doesn't sell tickets. And then proceeded to say, some people can't handle the truth. I'm going to shut up and let you, TK, say your piece about this, because I know when you saw this, being the proponent you are for women's wrestling on the very platform that wears the name of women's wrestling, what did you think of hearing, of all people, Maria Kanellis make this statement?
I mean, this is the thing that I love, because obviously, like, you know, we did cover, we had a post show for Women's Wrestling Army. I actually spoke to Maria in Chicago, when we were there for AEW, and, you know, made reference to that. So there are some things where there's, I don't know if it's necessarily the truth behind it, but women's wrestling is a bit tough for the smaller brands. For instance, you know, aside from maybe WOW, who has the deal with CBS, you know, it's kind of like in this, now I'm talking like the business aspect of it. The majority of people who watch wrestling are more men. A lot of people who watch Women's Wrestling Talk, it's like 80% men. So now you're going to advertisers and you're like, okay, well, you know, it's an all women's thing, but the people who watch the viewership is men. What is the best advertisement for this? And that's where I feel, not speaking for Maria, I feel where they're, it's a little bit tougher to sell. Not necessarily talking about the ladies or their athletic ability, just in the business aspect of things. So there is that. And then my guessing as far as Women's Wrestling Army, it's definitely more of a financial thing than anything else. And then it's harkening back to, I believe it was both Maria and Mickie James at one point when they were talking about Women's Evolution from WWE. And then also when NWA had their women's promotion, both those sayings were said at one point too. And then you can go back a day ago, was it an AEW event? Somebody was screaming at Sky Blue. He ultimately shouted to Ref Aubrey. He ultimately got kicked out. Then another gentleman on social media said, well, if women would stop wearing skimpy stuff and, you know, the stockings and looking like strippers, then they wouldn't get that. It was just kind of like, I was reading this, and shout out to people, I'm not on social media like that, but shout out to the folks who like essentially explain why the statement wasn't that great. So there's just a lot of with women's wrestling getting to the point that they are now, beyond the bra and panty matches and having great events and main eventing and all of that. Definitely read Ronda Rousey's book, and definitely obviously read Becky Lynch's book. Two different experiences, but if you are objective, you can appreciate both. So, you know, we're getting in this place where women wrestling, it's getting to that spot. However, in 2024, you have a gentleman who's screaming all this stuff. I was at TNA, you had another guy who said some crazy stuff who was behind me. And, you know, the question as far as does it sell, is there truly a space for us, or are we just trying to push a circle peg in a square hole or something? There's a lot of different things coming into play, and I can only imagine, this is just me with Women's Wrestling Talk, being a lover of women's wrestling versus women's wrestlers and what they go through, and, you know, doing something that they love but not necessarily getting paid the same amount and all the things. So there's so many different underlying factors that, I don't know, it felt like there was bringing a call back to what's been said for Maria, what she experienced through her business. And then also, let's not take away that she's a legend. She's been in the game forever. You know, she started Women's Wrestling Army with that intent. ROH had a whole women's wrestling thing that happened before Women's Wrestling Army. So there's like so many different layers to it that, like, you could do a whole interview just about that. Because obviously we know that's not what she truly feels, but she could speak as the wrestler, because she can speak as a promoter. She can speak on so many different levels. There's so many layers to this that we would need a whole show for that.
Yeah, you know, there's a part of me that has significant concern about a statement like this being made on a national brand by a woman. And we can argue a couple of things. One could argue, was, you know, we talked earlier about some of the promos being free flowing. You know, was this one of those promos that was free flowing and it was just said, and they were like, we're going to keep this? Was this something that was approved by Tony Khan? Was this a point that was said, make sure you say this point in this particular promo? What I can tell you is what we all know, and if you don't know, now you know, Ring of Honor is not aired live. So because it's not aired live, somebody obviously gave the green light for this to go public. And my concern is, with a larger parent company as an AEW, often being scrutinized about the way women's wrestling is presented, or the frequency or lack thereof, to have a brand connected to them go on air and make this statement is, that's scary to me. I think it's almost dangerous to me. And it almost makes me wonder if this is an underlying thought right now throughout that particular company that, hey, women's wrestling doesn't sell tickets. So, you know, and we can make several arguments. We could make the argument, you know, in terms of Ring of Honor as a brand, it seems mm-hmm. nuts to me that even, and granted, their women's division really honestly did not pick up for real until Athena. And once that happened, you know, then we got our first women's main event on a pay-per-view, but that was last year that we got that, 2023. You know, at this point, the WWE had already had a women's main event at WrestleMania in 2019. Granted, two different products, two different levels of evolution, dare I say, for women's wrestling. But I don't know that I've ever seen on a national television show that involved women's wrestling a woman make that statement that women's wrestling doesn't sell tickets. And to say that to another woman in terms of why she's not having success. For me, whether or not it's a factual business point, I think it is a, it's just a scary space where in 2024, a woman is saying this on national television. That's scary to me.
Maybe that's the point, though. Her saying that for the for the people who, because you know we're in the era where people pick up their pitchforks and all the etc. without getting all the details, right? So maybe she said that, knowing it's a national brand, all this stuff, for these conversations to be had, for people to say, well, no, women's wrestling does sell, or why doesn't women's wrestling sell? Or there probably are people who say they agree women's wrestling doesn't sell, and to have those conversations. Because if the man were to say that, I think the first instinct would be like to be combative, because this is a man saying it, right? But if the woman says this, to me, being objective, it's like, okay, well, why does she feel like that, right? So I think it was to spark the conversation, and for the again, those Easter eggs, if people are pick it up, because when I heard it, that's essentially my mind went into all the things Maria represents, right? It wasn't just, you know, a new up-and-coming wrestler or a wrestler who's been in the game for a long time and, you know, things didn't necessarily go his or her way. Like, Maria has definitely been on the forefront, especially, you know, with Women's Wrestling Army as of late. So I think she said that in order to have, sometimes you have to almost say the opposite so you can have those conversations. And I don't, and then on top of that, for it to be on Ring of Honor, where there's way more women's matches than anywhere else. That's kind of where it's just like, okay, well, visually, you know that there's more women's wrestlers, more women's matches on Ring of Honor. So that's why it makes me think that she said that with the, you know, the thing to spark the conversation. And maybe too, for this to lead to something bigger between her and Rachel, which that could be the storyline as well.
It'll be really interesting to see. There's a part of me, again, that wonders if sparking conversation was the idea, there likely could have been a larger platform and a more effective platform for her to say that. If that were really the intent. I just think, and I won't go off on too much of a tangent, but I think it's one of those things where there's a couple things at work here. For one, if that's true, and I say if because I don't know that we can fully say that that's true, just depending upon where you are. If that's true, is, you know, so for instance, being in the business world and being leaders and all those kinds of things, one of the things that we know is there are certain conversations that are more appropriate to have behind closed doors versus in front of closed door, in front of the audience. And that's just because, you know, people don't know how to properly digest that certain kinds of information, you know?
Right.
So for instance, if a company is, you know, has a degree of debt, which, you know, those of us in business know that most companies are operating with some degree of debt. Saying that in a closed door business meeting means one thing. Saying that to the public will make the public think this company's ready to go out of business. Because when you hear debt, you don't think, well, I also have this tons of surplus as well.
Right.
So it makes me wonder, a statement like that, was that responsible for her to say? You know, there are things that you can say in a promo that, and I'm thinking just purely when it comes, you know, for someone to champion the cause of women's wrestling, I don't know that you champion it by saying, we all know that this doesn't sell. And then you close your promo by saying, well, it's the truth. That, you know, if you're going to follow it with, well, we're going to do X, Y, Z to prove the people wrong. Okay, we got something. Which is one of the reasons why I wanted to play the interview in full context, because I didn't want people to think we just took a soundbite and are running with it. I needed you to see context and understand what was saying, what was said, how we got to it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It almost, and again, maybe if this is something that there is a story to that we, you know, unravel weeks down the road, I'll be intrigued to see what it turns into. If it doesn't, then we just made a completely frivolous statement that, on one hand, because it isn't said in, you know, a highly populated place, maybe it doesn't get a lot of traction. It is out there on YouTube, but, you know, the right person probably has to pick it up before somebody actually says something, because I don't think that many people are going and checking for Ring of Honor interviews, you know.
Right.
But needless to say, for me, of all the things that happened on this show, this is the one thing that I went, did that just happen? Like,
maybe
are we really saying this?
Maybe I'm just decent, like me.
I think you are, TK.
Maybe I'm just desensitized and zenned out, where it's just kind of like, I just think there's a bigger, I think there's a bigger play to this. I definitely see where, and maybe because it's wrestling, right? If this was like in an interview Maria did for a more mainstream media magazine or interview, and they're talking about all her things, and she said that, I think that would be a little bit different. I think because it's in a wrestling context, in a wrestling interview, I feel that's what, I guess I didn't have the, like, oh, she shouldn't have said that. I felt like, no, she, not thinking that, not necessarily saying she's right, but it's like, no, there's some, I could see why she would feel that way, given all the things she's tried to do for women's wrestling and also being a female wrestler. So I feel like there's a bigger story in play. And yeah, I feel like if they don't have a story, then it wasn't really that much of a playoff. However, this shout to Maria Shadows. And the reason I bring this up is I got her book. And when you said that, I was like, I need to keep track of this. So what you do is when you go to wrestling matches, all the things, you can have this handy book for 2024, put all the little accolades, because my memory is definitely not as good as professors. And so now I could go back and say, Maria said this, and now the story plays out in August, and we can now, you know, do the full circle. So definitely shout out to Maria Shadows. Definitely go on her Twitter page. You can order her book from Barnes & Noble. Really a really great wrestling, if you go to live shows, really a great companion. But also if you just watch them and you want to keep track, like, really a great companion. So wasn't paid to do that at all, but definitely go and go and cop this book. But yeah, I think it was done on purpose for a storyline. And because Maria is such a professional, there's a reason behind that. I just don't think she's just going to say that and just say, all right, cool, like on to the next. I think there's going to be a bigger play, which might be like a reincarnation of Women's Wrestling Army within ROH.
Who knows? We will see. And, you know, we're obviously on different sides with this, which is okay. I think time will tell, you know, when we revisit this, if this is one of those things that turns into something, or if this ends up being, you know, like showing the footage that was shown at Wembley a couple of weeks ago, like, okay, what did we do this for?
Yeah,
because even now, it still doesn't make any sense given all that's happened. But be that as it may, we followed this ironically with a women's match. Of course we did on Ring of Honor. I was actually quite intrigued by this one coming into it. And again, in fairness, a lot of these matches this week were intriguing because I've had a chance to work with some of these talents. And so when you see them, you know, it's like, ooh, this is going to be a really cool situation where some on the national scene may not be as familiar with some of these names. So Ashley Dambois made her return to Ring of Honor. She's not been in Ring of Honor since May. She's actually been out with injury. So it's great to see her back taking on Kiera Hogan, who we do see regularly on Ring of Honor. And I thought, again, kind of interestingly enough, whether it was planned this way or not, they had a very competitive match, which I think with the backdrop of what had been said prior to that, made this match even more intriguing to me. Right. What were your thoughts on Ashley Dambois versus Kiera Hogan?
Really liked, shout out to MDV. I think he really definitely wakes up with Professor in mind. I'm waiting for Kiera Hogan to start telling people that doesn't work for me. That's her actual real last name, by the way, folks. But great match. I can't remember if it's you or somebody else who was talking about Ashley. I didn't know she was out for injury, so she's back. Yeah, but this was a great great match. And if it wasn't for the fact that Kiera is a staple on ROH, I would have definitely kind of said it can go either way. Either person can win. Because Ashley, like, with some, you know, suplexes, she was kind of dominating Kiera for at least, I would say, like 60% of the match. So I was just oh, well, this could come to play. However, it just felt like it was going to go to Kiera. Again, where I'm a storyline person, as you guys have picked up. So like, where is this going? And on top of that, with so many women that, you know, they're not using on AEW that are now on ROH, you can create like some really great storylines amongst the women, which then leads me to the question of, as far as the taping with Daily's Place, was like last week and this week's all one taping. And you know, how many hours did that take? So it's just kind of like, how are they putting this all together? Because it looked like it was shot in the same day, yet last week's and this week's. So if that's the case, then, you know, there's just some missing parts. Because, like, you know, your Red Velvet and Queen Aminata, like, they talked about matches, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we still haven't even had a payoff and or a promo for either one of them. I think we saw, was it Queen Aminata last week? But there's no reference to that promo. So it's just, like, you know, Red Velvet didn't even come out with her. So it's just like certain things that's like you have all the pieces there. I get it's on a smaller scale, but like if you're having these wrestlers do their own promos, then like I don't know. It's kind of like a catch-22. Like I love seeing all the matches, I love seeing all the women there, but then like with this particular episode, it's just like, well, what's the game plan? What are we doing with this?
You know, one of the challenges I would say is with this kind of show, and she's actually Canadian, she being Ashley, the challenge with this kind of show, and this is the challenge with this kind of format, where we are in the wrestling world and society in general is people want things to happen much, much quicker. These older wrestling shows could take a mid-card storyline and drag it out 3 to 6 months, you know?
Right.
And so, for instance, and we'll get to one of the things that we saw in our main event, as well as what we just saw with Rachel and Layla. Rachel, Layla, Maria, that story has been going on for literal months. And I don't know that it's necessarily needed to go on that long for the things that have and have not happened.
Right.
I think in this case with Kiera and Ashley, which is, again, kind of one of the challenges, it's almost, it almost needs to be somewhat clearer if they are in the process of introducing a new star that they're going to be working. Because like a match like this would have been a great moment to kind of, if Ashley gets the win, now we're looking like, okay, wow, we're super interested in Ashley. What happens to Kiera? How does she respond? That kind of thing. So what I think can be challenging about some of the shows we've seen with Ring of Honor is there are some weeks where they do a fantastic job of a continuous line of storytelling throughout the show. And then there are other weeks where it doesn't necessarily feel that way. And it feels like this week might have been one of those weeks where there was not as much overt storytelling as we might be accustomed to. Some of the things, matter of fact, it feels like a lot of the things have slow burns. And part of that challenge is, you know, in an AEW or in some of the other promotions, TNA, WWE, there is a larger show that shows up about a month away from any given moment. So you can have a payoff potentially happening, and you know this is leading up to the pay-per-view or leading up to the this. You know, it is. It seems a lot more vague in Ring of Honor, where in Ring of Honor there are 3 or 4 big pay-per-view shows a year. And the next one in Ring of Honor right now is not until July, Death Before Dishonor. So there's a lot of time between now and then, and it feels like perhaps there should be a better job done in making stories count so that when we get to the pay-per-view, we have something that we're really invested in. And it almost begs the question, are we applying the right length of time to certain stories? You know, it's like with certain meals. You know, if I'm going to cook rice, I only need 5 minutes for that. You know, I don't need 3 hours for rice. I might need 3 to 4 hours if I'm going to cook a turkey. So the question is, are we applying the right amount of time to the stories that we're cooking? Because if we're not, we're going to burn something and we're not going to be able to use it. Or if we finish something too quickly, it's going to be undone and we won't be ready for it. So there's a lost art in there that I think has to be figured out if we're going to do shows with this old school format.
That makes sense. I mean, and shout out to the commentators. They are trying to, you know, help us along and kind of provide context to the stuff. But, you know, like a vignette would be great. Like these things that, you know, typically soap operas do at the beginning of the show. Like, here's what happened in the last episode. Or, I mean, obviously WWE is really great at this as well. It's like, you know, doing a vignette where you kind of slap together something, throw on a voiceover, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you could kind of tell the story that way. And that's not a budget thing. Like, you know,
that's a creative vision.
That's a creative thing. So that then the question comes into, like, is the same person creatively running the show, or is it one of those things where it's like, you know, different people step in? So when that certain person steps in, the show looks like this, and you know, we have the storyline. You kind of know the arc of the storyline, but the next person who comes in is not necessarily, it's more of a secondary to AEW. So that's what it feels like. It feels like some weeks are just like amazing, and then some weeks are just like, wait, what? Great matches, but what's happening here?
Right. So with all of that said, Kiera gets the win. I definitely think this is a match to revisit if you guys get the opportunity to do so, to be exposed to Ashley Dambois and just the chemistry that these two have. From there, a very interesting promo. And again, talking about some of the things that are either on from week to week or things that have not, you know, been on for weeks. Ever since we started this post show, we've not seen these two figures on our screen at all. Nick Camarado, who is on your right, he at one point was part of the Factory, has kind of undergone a bit of a a revamp of sorts. And he had been approached by the gentleman on the left, who is Jacoby Wells. I think I got his name right. I will tell you exactly. Jacoby Watts. I'm sorry, Jacoby Watts. So basically, if you know, we've not seen these characters on our screen, and we've now been doing this pre-show for post-show for 3 to 4 weeks now. So this is our first time seeing them, but they have been on previous episodes of Ring of Honor. And what you were able to kind of piece together from here is that Jacoby Watts has been interested in having Nick Camarado in his soon-to-be established stable. It seems like Nick Camarado has seen the light. And in the words of Jacoby Watts, praise be, and be is he. And what did you think of this?
I mean, I thought of you.
You did.
I mean,
in the world,
I thought of you, and then it's kind of like, is it, then what those catch 22s is like, is this okay to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously there are some Christian references there. But you know, again, do you like, I kind of bought into it because I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? Because for some people, and I think I could speak for you as well, there's a certain line that you kind of don't cross, and you know, there's still some runway, but it's like, how far are they going? How far are they gonna go with this? So yeah, it had me curious, because I mean, if you guys don't know, there's so many things that have biblical references, like Star Wars, Hunger Games, Harry Potter, like all these things have very much like biblical references to it. So when you go there and you kind of do it right, you know, it piques my curiosity. Like, what are we going to do with this? So definitely curious, and hopefully we don't wait another 4 weeks before we find out.
Because we have not seen this on here. So with that said, you know, what's interesting, I've talked before about how the presentation of this show, again, kind of really is a throwback to what we're seeing with 80s and even 90s wrestling, old school wrestling. And, you know, there are certain characters that I think historically, when presented, can work or can have an edge to them or can get close to the line or can just simply not work, you know. And I think when you get into the character of the questionable preacher, so to speak, you know, my first thought goes to like a Brother Love, who obviously was over the top. And, you know, he would have these interview segments and the like. And on occasion, he'd manage somebody. Again, even in the 80s, it was kind of, you know, you go back and watch it, you can somewhat see the humor of it now, but there's always a part of me that thinks to myself, you know, one of the dangers in going after religious kinds of figures and the like is there are certain places where you know you can't do that, because if you do, there will be a massive problem. And I will wait to see what this turns into before I, you know, go one way or the other with it, you know. But it was an interesting introduction for those who have not watched this over the last few weeks to these characters, and we'll see where they go. Does this ultimately turn into a larger stable? You know, like what's happening here? But there's that. Moving from this backstage segment to a matchup, Lance Archer and the Righteous in Trios action. And again, because of the new Unified Trios Championships, you at least have an idea of where this one could be going. Unfortunately for their opponents did not get any introduction because they got attacked by Lance Archer and the Righteous, but their opponents were Parker Lee and the Superstars, who are all graduates of the Nightmare Factory. They certainly had opportunity, but the opportunity was probably just them standing in the ring because they were dominated by Lance Archer and the Righteous. And to me, it seemed like it was very clear what this match was supposed to do. What were your thoughts?
What was that, like less than 2 minutes?
Yes, it was very quick.
I think their intros took longer than the match. It was very, you know, when you don't get an intro song, we already know kind of how this is going to play out. But then when you don't even get your name said, it's just like,
right.
Like, what are we doing here? You know, their poor parents who came to see them and they don't even mm-hmm. get the acknowledgement of their name. So that's one thing. Established dominance, like, you know, get in, get out. The story was, I guess, more into the intro. And how the pairing of Lance Archer and the Righteous, how that's going to play out when it actually does come to championship time. So, I mean, we could have seen more, but why?
Yeah.
Yeah. This moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agreed. So a win for Lance Archer and the Righteous. And again, the story arc there is another team in line for the Unified Trios Championships. From there, we move on to a Proving Ground match. And that's one of the consistent things that we've seen over the last few weeks here in Ring of Honor, these Proving Ground matches where, again, the champion battles a challenger, 10-minute time limit. If the challenger lasts all 10 minutes or gets a win in any way over the champion, then the challenger will get a future title shot. So here, the challenger is Dream Girl Ellie, who has really been all around the wrestling world. And so it was really cool to see her in this space. And this is the first match we've seen for Billy Stark since winning the World Television Championship there at Supercard of Honor. What were your thoughts on this match?
Now, we got this, the story of Billy Stark's. They're getting this right, and she's staying true to character. So is Athena, who is apparently her new mother because her mother got fired. I mean that alone is great. There is one thing I wrote because I think Billy was she got out of the ring, and then Dream Girl Ellie came over, and you know Athena's trying to like tell Billy to go in the ring, like this is her destiny. All this other stuff. And then I think Dream Girl said something to Athena. And I think Athena said, "Shut up, little girl." I was like,
yes.
Like, it was just, that was a highlight of this whole episode storytelling wise. Because like, you know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen in the play of this eventually. You know, Red Velvet or Queen Amanat, like what's happening there. But Athena, like it's kind of like when Britt Baker was the champion for AEW. She was such a great champion as far as telling the stories and the promos and stuff like that. You didn't want it to end, but it has to just because that's the nature of everything. But Athena, she has something, and I feel like it is transferable to AEW. I just don't know why they're not doing it. And I do hope when she does kind of get that play in AEW, they don't screw it up because she has something. Like it's really great what she's doing and what Billy Starks is doing as far as really maintaining the cheating ways. I think Coleman was saying how she's too young to be this devious. It was a great match, and the slaps to the chest, like it was a good match. It was a really good match.
Yeah, a really good match that saw Billy Starks come out with the win, and so Dream Girl Ellie does not this is what MDB doesn't understand. This was already planned, sir, because we already knew that. And of course, since this is Ring of Honor. We're going to wish a great happy birthday to Queen Aminata. Sometimes, MDB, you just got to let the show play out, all right? So Queen Aminata, it is her birthday. Certainly someone I am very, very proud of. I've had a chance to work with her for years now. So very honored that she is in this particular space. Happy birthday to Queen Aminata, who is clearly a future champion in Ring of Honor, whether that is the world TV title or the world championship. But yes, happy birthday to Queen Aminata. From there, we had an interview backstage with the premier athletes, where I thought this was actually, I thought, pretty interesting, because all of this time we've had, you know, vignettes about them, but now they actually get to speak and we get to understand where they are headed. Daivari and Tony Nese are looking down the line at tag team titles. And then Josh Woods is looking to shoot for the world championship. What were your thoughts there on the premier athletes and this backstage interview?
I really liked it. I liked the premier athletes, anybody, anytime, anywhere. I might steal that.
Yes.
However, when they get in the ring, if they lose, that's what I might, because you can go another direction too. If they lose, now you're kind of doing almost, for you guys who watch WoW, I'll do a WoW reference as far as Top Tier and Coach Campanelli and, you know, having an okay team. And then she essentially just got rid of the team and started a whole new team. So I'm interested if they're going to go the dominant way, or if they're going to do more of the comical way, where it's like, you know, you've been presenting them to us for weeks and they finally get there. They finally get their challenge, and, you know, they don't, it doesn't come into the W that they want. So I'm curious as far as how they're going to do that. What direction?
I think the other challenge for the premier athletes is, you know, we've seen these three men, if you've been watching Ring of Honor over time, we've seen these three men presented in a lot of ways. As a matter of fact, we saw Tony Nese in a match without honor against Ethan Page back at Final Battle back in December. And this was like paraded as a major match kind of thing, as the kind of ending to that particular story. My concern isn't just whether or not they will win, but once they get in the ring, will we actually be interested in them? They are three guys who have tried a lot of things over time that have not, you know, garnered a lot of interest. At one point, Daivari, you know, was rich and flaunting all of his money. And, you know, Josh Woods was the MMA fighter. And Tony Nese, you know, was still trying to get people to do push-ups and workouts and all the things. They're going to have to figure out, how do we connect with the audience? And I think, you know, these obviously, all of this time that's being taken is designed to help them do that. And hopefully, for their sake, once they get in the ring, it will translate into something that will connect. I think one of the hardest things about the way that Ring of Honor is often shot and presented is that, because, you know, the ticket is being sold for AEW and Ring of Honor is just kind of thrown in there as the opener or random closer, people don't, you know, you don't have people necessarily coming specifically to see the Ring of Honor stars, because they aren't necessarily advertised. So that makes it that much more difficult to actually connect with the audience. So I think this will be very interesting to see what they will be able to do in this particular scenario and how they'll connect. There are some people whose charisma automatically connects, like an Aminata, like an Athena, like the Infantry. You know, there are some folks who are doing that. Will this team and this faction be able to do that? That, I think, is the question. And we'll find out over time. This leads us to our main event. Griff Garrison and Cole Carter against Angelico, or Angelico, depending upon which week we're pronouncing this name, and Serpentico. They're known as the Spanish Announced Project. No, I'm serious. There was a whole... No. See, you think I'm being shady. Now I have to give some context. The context is when Angelico was in Lucha, he was pronounced Angelico. And most of the time, initially, while on Ring of Honor, he was pronounced as such. And then there was a moment where commentary started calling him Angelico, and people were going off on them. And they were saying, well, we're doing that because he told us that we can call him Angelico. So last night, they go back to Angelico. And so that's why I use the reference. It's Angelico, Angelico, depending upon which week we're looking at. Now, there's actually a story here. This is one of those stories that, as I was referencing earlier in the show, may have been drawn out maybe longer than necessary. It certainly goes back to several weeks ago where there was a tag match between these two teams, and Garrison and Carter won the match, but then they, along with Maria Kanellis, stole the mask of Serpentico. And so if you saw the match, you saw that she held the mask in her hands, and there was this kind of battle to try to get the mask back, et cetera, et cetera. So of everything that we saw on episode 63, this was the match that had the most story connected to it. With that said, you know, Angelico and Serpentico have been a tag team for quite some time. Garrison and Carter, both young wrestlers under the tutelage of Maria Kanellis. What did you think of this matchup?
I mean, I loved and didn't like, which is why Maria's such a good character, a good heel, of her just flaunting the mask and her like taunting in her well put together outfit in these heel boots. Like, you know, thankfully, I guess we're in Ring of Honor and pretty much any wrestling promotion that this guy's not going to, like, you know, lunge towards her to get her mask back, which he could he could definitely do. So I loved all aspects of it. And I guess the long-term story was there, but then the payoff was, like, you know, Maria ends up throwing his mask in the ring. He gets the mask and then they get jumped. So Angelico and Serpentico actually end up winning, but, you know, she kind of throws it for them to get jumped. And it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen now? The fact that they did win. He has his, I think they ended up taking the mask back, but
they did.
He had another mask on. So, like, where are we going with this?
It's interesting. And it certainly looks like there will be a rubber match as both teams have won one match apiece. So it looks like we'll get a rubber match at some point. I thought it would have been over, but when Garrison and Carter attacked them, I was like, oh, okay.
We've
got more to go with. And I don't know if it was because of the backdrop of the other storytelling that was told on this particular episode or not, but because of all of these elements, this had me intrigued the most of everything that happened on the episode. So indeed, while Angelico and Serpentico got the win on paper, Garrison and Carter were the last one standing, and the last image that you saw going off of episode 63. So that's a look at what happened on episode 63 of Ring of Honor. Again, you can relive it at Honor Club. Watch ROH.com is the website. Or of course, you can download the mobile app for Honor Club to check that out. Again, $9.99 a month. That includes all of the pay-per-views, all of the history and library, which is expansive, of Ring of Honor, and of course, the weekly shows there. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Of course, you guys can find me at Bonnerfied on all of the spaces. I will. I don't normally do this, but I'll save my, I guess, full all of the other ways you can find me for this evening, because I really want you to show up for episode 300 of our flagship show, WWT Live. There's a lot that has happened in the history of this show, and I can't wait to see who's going to come through tonight. You'll want to be there. While I'm sure we will look back at some of the great things we've done, there's a whole lot to talk about in the wrestling world over these last 2 days, specifically surrounding women's wrestling. So You do not want to miss the show that happens at 6 p.m. Eastern today, 3 p.m. Pacific, WWT Live episode 300. I default, of course, to the boss lady who closed us out in her own house.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining. Yes, episode 300 for WWT Live. That's just for WWT Live. We are, I think, at 700 for our review shows, almost 400 for our interview shows. So a lot of big numbers. We've been around for a minute. So I want to thank you guys all for joining. We'll talk more, and I'll give you all the thanks and the flowers to the folks who join us. There are going to be some things, some giveaways, all that stuff. So you definitely want to tune in if you want free-ish. If you don't want free stuff and you just want to, you know, watch it when you watch it, then that's fine too. But definitely be on the lookout, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern, somewhere in the middle from a mountain and, you know, wherever Dylan is 12 hours later the next day. So definitely check out all of that. You can follow me everywhere at TK Trinidad. Make sure you follow Women's Wrestling. I can't even look at the cover. Make sure you check out Women's Wrestling Talk on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. With that being said, thank you so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao, y'all.
I am your forever ROH Women's Champion, your fallen goddess, the Alpha, the Minion, Overlord, the ROH Gatekeeper. But most of all, I am the best in the world, Athena, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk.